best in the world.
The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah!
You are listening to the ReviewFix.com podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the ReviewFix.com wrestling podcast. This is our WWE Roadblock edition, starring the Caucasian sensation himself, Patrick Hickey Jr., and the spicy, the dicey Juan de Jesus. What's up, Juan?
I'm the tamale that your mother always dreamed of.
So are we excited for Roadblock?
A little bit. I'm actually a little underwhelmed, I think, because I thought they were actually going to go a whole month without a pay-per-view, but nope, here comes a network special. It's only $9.99. Shut up, JBL. Please, just shut the fuck up.
You know what? Absolutely, like, in terms of, like, they need to have something on the WWE Network all the time. Those numbers are, like, very important to them. And if they don't have a reason for people to tune in, they feel like people aren't going to tune in. Also, too, I mean, I think about it, I watch all the original programming, regardless of how crappy it is and regardless of how cheesy it is. Edge and Christian. But there's just not a lot of original content. Like, at this point, I've watched everything that there is, and I end up spending more time watching old WCW pay-per-views than I do watching...
Wow, you can make it through that?
What?
You can make it through that? You can make it through the Yeti...
Oh, I love
Double
that stuff.
Bear
and Oz.
The Big Show.
I love it. I love that stuff. It's so bad, it's good. You know? I'll sit through all that stuff to watch like a Too Cold Scorpio.
Can you sit through 5 months of promos promoting Glacier?
Absolutely. Dude, Glacier was the shit when he first came out, man. He was kicking people in the face.
He came out on WCW Thunder on a B-show, and then he came out after Mortal Kombat, and everyone had forgot about it.
I love the I love his super kick. But, you know, do you remember when Ernest the Cat Miller debuted?
No, I don't.
Dude, you have to watch it. I forgot what pay-per-view it was, but what happened was he came in to help Glacier against, like, Wrath and Mortis.
Mortis, yeah.
He literally, like, kicked Canyon's fucking head off. It was ridiculous. It was probably one of the stiffest kicks I've ever seen in my entire life. That, like, the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh, man, he caught heat in the back for that shit. You know? It's crazy.
Poor Canyon. That probably concussed him for the fifth time.
Probably. And that's why I had the lift. He just kicked his fucking tongue off the side of his mouth and it just stayed there. You know?
But anyway.
No, but if they just gave me more swerve... Some episodes are unfiltered or very good.
I agree.
And some are lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like the Kevin Owens and Randy Orton episode showed me a side that I kind of wanted to see, but, you know, I didn't know I wanted.
Yeah.
And when I did get it, I was like, wow, this is... I kind of like Randy Orton a lot more now. You know, the Finn Balor episode was excellent. But, you know, like the Ziggler episode...
What about Lee? What do you think of Ziggler?
You know, like when someone's on TV too much and you just stop paying attention, I'm looking at you, Dolph. I love you. You don't understand how much I think this guy deserves. He deserves so much success.
How do you go from the most underrated wrestler on the card to the most overrated in the span of a year?
It's just so many matches.
Because they've just overbooked the shit out of the poor guy, you know?
And then he doesn't, you know, he starts to get a push and then no. Like, the biggest thing, you need a blow-off match between The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. Why didn't you have it at Roadblock? That is not a WrestleMania match. That is not something that I think will garner a lot of excitement.
That's not even a WrestleMania kickoff match.
Well, I don't even know if they're going to relegate the Andre the Giant Memorial to the kickoff. Because if you have 4 hours of programming to fill... You really should use every minute.
That too, like, I love professional wrestling. I watch it every single day. But I don't want to watch fucking 4 hours, man. That's too much. And then we got to write about it too. It's like, well, it's not, it becomes not fun anymore. You know?
Well, there was some fun in Sasha and Becky Lynch and her double pin. But it was a finish that was used...
In NXT the week before.
The night before on NXT. In your broadcast schedule. And they did it
better,
a lot better.
Yes,
right? Because it looked like both people were covering. These people were on top of each other. Technically, Sasha is pinning.
Yes.
You know, they're not at angles, but I understand both their shoulders are down, but still. If you wanted to have a triple threat match, you have, like, a season series, right? Like, a best of three. You had a month to build it up.
Yep.
Why didn't you have Sasha take one, Becky take one, then a time limit match or beat the clock match or something, right? Mm-hmm. In order to spice up, one, your programming that you have on Monday and Thursday, and two, it just gives them... It gives these two competitors more time to shine with one victory and one victory. And then you have the blow-off match at Roadblock to another stalemate where you have, now it has to be a triple threat match. For you to just have 1 week of storytelling is not enough.
In the words of Johnny Cochran.
Not for the show of the year.
In the words of Johnny Cochran in South Park, it does not make sense. If Wookiees live on Endor, you must. It's like, why would you not have a Divas match on Roadblock?
And it's not like you have a depleted roster. You have former champions in the back. This Brie Lana thing is probably the one that's going to end up being on the Roadblock special itself. But I'm not excited about that.
Me neither.
One, it came out of left field. And two, why are they even feuding?
Doesn't make any sense.
Is it because Lana wants to be the better wife?
You know what they need to do? You're gonna laugh when I tell you this, but they should have Eva Marie come back to the main roster and have Eva Marie help Brie and beat the shit out of Lana. That would, like, get Eva Marie a little bit more over than she is now, but she's not over at all, except for the fact that she's hot.
But the fact remains, she can't even kick right.
Yeah, but she's so much better than she was a year ago. She's, like, in a completely,
She's storytelling better,
yeah.
But she's not selling well, and her moves are still slow and lumbering. And she's paired with Nia Jax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who, for some reason, has the speed on the team. You know what I mean? I'm saying this as a big guy.
You're gonna make me die.
Guys, I'm a big guy. I'm not going to lie. I'm a fat ass. I shouldn't be running faster than Eva Marie.
Yeah.
But Nia Jax is fucking hitting the ropes and doing this and doing that. And Eva Marie is like softly tapping the ropes.
It's like
she doesn't want to get hurt.
It's like Rikishi running faster than like fucking Grandmaster Sexay, you know?
But,
which is probably the case too.
The fact remains, you know, it's like, would that be a good swerve? What would it accomplish if you just want Brie to go out on top?
Why would you have her wrestle Lana to leave? Wouldn't you want to? I would rather have her wrestle like Natty. Somebody good. Somebody that she can have a legit match with. She's not going to have that match with Lana.
I don't know. And was she doing any training prior to this?
Because
I think she was always a valet.
Yeah. And to go back to, like, Natty, they don't even use her. So why can't she get a fucking WrestleMania moment?
They use her to plug Subway.
Yep. Oh, my God. I fucking hate in-product placement on Raw. Every time it happens, I want to throw my shoe at the TV before I realize that I have a beautiful TV, and I would, like, be pissed off if anything happened to it.
Why are you wasting such a talented person? It's like, between her and Davey Smith, it's like, you guys fucked up something that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, too, she's a kook. She's a fucking nut job. Let's be honest here. I've read a lot of books on the Hart family, the Benoit books, Bret Hart's autobiography and stuff. And he even flat out says that, like, the carpet in the Hart mansion, like, was crunchy and stunk like cat piss and stuff like that. And they were, like, glorified white trash, you know? But it's like, they're fucking legit. They are fantastic professional wrestlers. And she's probably easily right now like top five like workers in the WWE, like as far as the women go, easily top five, you know.
You know, and she goes out and she when I went to WWE White Plains, we waited outside in a parking lot. She came out and she took pictures.
She's
with fans.
Fantastic.
People
with
like
the
her.
Fans. Yes, she's fantastic with the fans. She gets it. She's made old school that way. She knows that like the fans matter. You know, so why can't she get a fucking shot? Lana, for real? who screwed over the entire angle that they were trying to do with her because she had to announce that she was engaged to fucking Conan, the stomach barbarian or whatever. Unbelievable.
But so now
she gets a WrestleMania
pick. Natty deserves a match.
She does.
You know, there's so many ways. And you have 3 hours. Are you telling me that each of these matches are going to last, like, 30 minutes?
Well, see, that's the thing,
too. Let's run down the card
real quick. Did they say that Roadblock was 3 hours?
Yeah.
Wow. How the hell?
Because remember, the Madison Square Garden live special was 3 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
And that didn't include the half-hour dark match. You know, they had 2 dark matches, right, which was, like, Brad Maddox, who's no longer with the company, and Mark Henry, and they had 2 other people. I even forgot. I think they were local talents. But when I was there, you know, it was 3 hours on the dot.
Wow.
You know, and they are very good about that. So I wonder how they're going to fill it out. I mean, what do they have on the card?
So we've got Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar. We've got...
That'll be 35 minutes.
Yeah. Triple H and Ambrose for the title, the WWE World Heavyweight title. And then you have the WWE Tag Team titles, New Day versus Wade Barrett and Sheamus. And then you have the NXT Tag Team titles, The Revival, you know, Dash and Dawson, a.k.a. Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson Jr. versus Enzo and Colin Cassidy with, of course, Carmella.
So... For what reason did the tag titles move it on to this show and now NXT TakeOver Dallas?
So, this is what's going to happen, okay? Dash and Dawson win, okay? They retain their titles, but they screw
over... As they deserve to.
Of course they do. But they screw over Enzo and Cass, and they kind of, like, put them out. Kayfabe, you know? So now... They're not at Enzo and Colin Cassidy are not at NXT TakeOver Dallas at all.
But American Alpha is.
And American Alpha is, they get their tag team title shot. They win. And then the night after WrestleMania, Colin Cassidy and Enzo are on Raw. That's what I say.
For what angle?
The fact that there's nobody else.
What's the reason?
There's nobody else. So this is the thing. New Day needs a team that they can talk shit with. Every team that they've wrestled, including the Dudley Boys, none of them can... Like, I love the Dudley Boys, but on the mic, they're not the New Day. They need a team that they can be just as entertaining with, and I feel like Enzo and Cass could be the guys that could be entertaining with the New Day.
So news coming out of backstage is Gallows and Anderson don't go to NXT.
I've heard that, too.
They go to the main roster. So, you know, they're not that bad on the mic.
They're not.
They're not Enzo and Cass. But do you inject 2 good teams into the tag team division? And what happens to the Usos then?
I say fuck the Usos. I'm done with the Usos. They don't do shit for me. Like, they're good workers, but it's like, they, you know... They do nothing. They jump up and down and Pyro comes down. And they have a splash from the top rope and some super kicks. They're like an uncharismatic version of the Young Bucks. At least the Young Bucks are
fun.
But
they try.
Of course they try. And they bust their ass in the ring. But it's like they're just so vanilla. That's why they have face paint. That's why they have the blah, 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 blah. All these fucking bells and whistles. To try and make themselves more charismatic when they're really not.
So, you said there was a tag team match. So we obviously know the League of Nations is not winning.
No, but the thing is though, if they do, then that means that like you have complete anarchy in the tag team division. So then, what could probably happen is like the Usos. Versus the New Day, versus the League of Nations, versus the Dudleys, and like a fatal 4-way, like ladder fucking, you know, dildo match or whatever at WrestleMania.
On the pre-show.
On the pre-show, or like the first match, just to get all of these guys a paycheck from WrestleMania, and just to get all of these guys on the card. So, if the League of Nations wins tonight, which is, it's possible, because then what that does is it clears up a lot of the lack of drama in the tag team division. That to me makes sense. And then after WrestleMania is over, all those teams that lost, like the Dudleys, are going to stay on the card just because they're going to fill up like space on like SmackDown and Raw and stuff, and they're going to try and challenge or blah blah blah. Or what you could even have is, think of it this way: if the Dudley Boys win the tag team titles at WrestleMania, and then Gallows and Anderson come, that's a fucking feud. That's a good feud, those two. And then, now you have New Day all pissed off, like, oh, we got screwed, and you have the New Day not even get pinned for the titles. So now they're pissed because they didn't even get pinned to lose their titles, and then you have this young tag team come in.
That gives you a little bit of babyface heat.
Yes.
So then, begin to turn.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, but then you have them feud with Enzo and Cass, and then you have them both just be really entertaining and funny, so this way you really don't have the heel and the face team. You just have one team trying to prove themselves, well, both teams really trying to prove themselves at the expense of the other.
Okay. Without the titles being in the picture, because they're being contested by another two set of teams.
Yes, and plus, let's be fair. Enzo,
and now you can round out cards that have been lackluster because you have two tag team matches.
Yes. Yes. And then, two, the bad thing is, though, who's the team? Who are the two teams that are out in this? It's the League of Nations and the Usos. The League of Nations, I'm not so worried about because those are all singles guys. Let's be fair.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be in a tag team anyway, you know.
But the Usos and Los Matadores. Yeah, people forgot they existed.
The fact that you're even putting Los Matadores in the same category as the Usos proves that the Usos are no longer relevant. Period. I would rather see Rosa Mendez and her baby tag team than Los Matadores.
It is a cute kid.
Oh, adorable, but she's beautiful too, so, you know, it makes sense.
But what I think...
I wonder if it's Michael Hayes' kid.
God, no.
Like, when he came out of her, like, you know, vajayjay,
it
was
came
he
out
like,
striding.
Bad Street Atlanta, GA.
Okay, so that resolves the two tag team matches.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
do you agree with that, though? Do you see that could maybe happen?
I honestly think that the New Day are going to retain.
Okay.
I think they're going to retain just because it's safe booking,
mm-hmm.
which has been what they've been doing the past couple of weeks.
I got you.
Right?
Okay.
It's safe booking, and I honestly think that in order for Enzo and Cass to make that big of an impact, right,
mm-hmm.
they would have to debut on Raw against a New Day team that is so high on life right now that they are like, there's no one that could beat us. The Dudleys didn't beat us. The Usos can't beat us. The League of Nations can't beat us. And then, you know, the music hits and they're like, and they just stare at the Titantron, you know, because it's the same thing whenever someone debuts.
Yeah.
Right? And he comes out, he's like, whoa, 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 listen here, sweet pants. You know, and Enzo and Cass just start cutting, they start blistering.
See, but this is the thing, though, too. Who would you rather have fight the New Day for the titles? Enzo and Cass, who, let's be fair, are still bebes.
Mm-hmm.
Or a team with the type of international reputation as...
As Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah. See?
But what they would have to do is come out and destroy.
Yeah. And I think
those guys don't need to talk. The destroying is enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you fall into the Wyatt family booking where these guys come out and destroy you. At least Gallows and Anderson could defend themselves on the mic.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting take too.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the little ripple that you put in with the tag matches up in the air. You know, because then one, you get all these guys on the card. Nobody misses the big show, with the exception of Natty. Right,
mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't even say that to be mean. I just said it because if they have a Vicky Guerrero battle royal, right, there is a problem. They didn't have one last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't have one.
They had the tag match instead. So, you know, if they have that again, she'll work the show. But she's always missing the card, and that's a shame.
That's bullshit.
As you could tell, we're Natty fans.
Oh, absolutely.
She's the Dolph Ziggler of the women's division.
Yep, I agree. It's just sad. She does everything. And it's the same thing, too. Like, I'm a huge Tyson Kidd fan. And it's sad that, like, he may never wrestle again.
You can't turn his neck, dude.
Just so, so good. Oh. It's like the whole fucking social outcast thing. I'm like, That was supposed to be the Brass Ring Club like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that they never did. They had the shirts and everything. It was him and Cesaro and Adam Rose, and then they ended up not doing anything with it. It's like, that could have been really good. So, whatever. Bray Wyatt versus Lesnar. What do you think of that?
Why didn't this happen sooner? And why wasn't it talked about? It's just like, well, put them together. People want to see them.
I don't know, man.
It's like, there's no build.
They're just booking me like shit, man.
He's the guy who talks shit and gets his ass kicked.
Yep. And what was the deal with Raw this week? He comes out and, like, fucking, he's looking at Triple H and, like, he touches the belt or whatever. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man. You're not fighting for the title. What the fuck are you kidding? You think you're Galactus?
But the fans got a reaction out of it.
They did, because people still like him. People still appreciate what he does, but it's like, he's been buried to shit and back. It's like, oh my god. Ugh.
But it shows a resiliency to his character.
Absolutely. But then think about it too. Like, no one in the Wyatt family has won any gold except for Luke Harper.
Frankly, rightfully so.
Oh, absolutely. I think
he's the best worker out of all of them.
He is. But
he had it for what, 32 days?
Yeah, and I think he would have been a really solid Intercontinental Champion, especially if he would have been given an opportunity to develop his character more. Mm-hmm. The same thing with Eric Rowan. They didn't even really give him...
He was supposed to be a vintner.
Yep.
You know what a vintner is?
No.
A vintner is someone who makes fine wines.
Nice.
That's why he wears those overalls.
He reminds me of Opie from, what's it called, Sons of Anarchy.
But the fact remains is, one, how is this not a one-sided fight?
Yeah.
There was no head games to make Bray Wyatt dangerous. They didn't even have to clash. I just wanted some head games. And not even Heyman and Wyatt had a chance to face off on the mic. I think that would have been gold.
I agree. But then it's like, think of it this way, Juan. It's like, Lesnar gains nothing by destroying Bray Wyatt.
And not even a measure of revenge from having people been thrown out?
It's been too long. Rumble. Nobody cares anymore. It's been too long. And then
what's the point of developing the story?
I don't know. Because, again, this is like a glorified house show. The only thing that I'm thinking is, imagine. I'm sorry for quoting John Lennon twice in a row, but three times. Imagine if Dean Ambrose wins the WWE title tonight. What does that mean? That means that Triple H just has a grudge match with Roman Reigns for the title.
I don't know. Read the fine print on that one.
What?
Roman Reigns won the match at Fastlane, so he gets to be in the main event at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So then that means that then it's a rematch of...
Survivor Series, right?
Of Fastlane, right?
Yeah. No, because Triple H can't just inject himself into that.
No.
Well, he can.
No, but then, because then Lesnar has an argument. Because if Lesnar beats Wyatt, and then Ambrose wins his match, Lesnar was supposed to have a match with Ambrose. So why can't Lesnar and Reigns both get a match with Ambrose at WrestleMania?
You know, this is, don't. You want to know why I'm saying don't?
Why?
Because I like you, bro. But if I've already laid down for you twice, I won't lay down for you three times.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? I don't think that's fair to me.
But what if that happens?
He's already laid down for him three times.
And Lesnar wins the fucking title at WrestleMania.
For what? So he could be absent? Like last time?
That's true.
You know, it's like, You need the belt on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I really wish Seth Rollins would come out and fucking cost
he's training
the belt. But you understand what I mean? It's just like,
There's no overt sexiness right now.
No, and the fact is, then Dean is there to get the pin.
Yeah.
He's there to take the pin. And that's something that, frankly, he doesn't deserve anymore. Just the amount of heat that he's getting from being with Triple H is sign enough that it's time for him to be in a main event.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep Guru of Reigns, go hell or high water, which they will, 100,000 people are going to boo.
Yep.
And even if 100,000 people don't boo, a good portion of them will. Because the people that go to WrestleMania aren't the people that go to Raw or SmackDown.
Yep.
People that go to WrestleMania travel from outside. They travel internationally. They are smart fans, and they can't stand it.
Yep.
He's off TV with a nose injury. It was the only reason we see Reigns in this, Ambrose in this position.
But he's made the most of it.
And he's made the most of almost every opportunity that he's had. Remember Hell in a Cell, yep. him and Seth Rollins?
Yep.
That match, for not having the amount of spots that a normal Hell in a Cell match has, was excellent.
Yeah, I agree.
That spot they both took onto the table, where yep. the match should have ended,
yep.
that was amazing.
Yep, I agree.
And when him and Reigns were fighting, they had good matches. Right, I'm not going to take that away from him. But remember at Survivor Series, right, where they... Was this Survivor Series where they had their the tournament?
Yeah.
Right, the only Survivor Series I remember is the one with Dolph Ziggler actually mattered.
Yeah, that was a great match.
They're sitting there, and their match wasn't bad. But people want Ambrose, and it's because they remind him of... of someone who's unstable because of what people have made them do. Reigns is just the guy who's too cool to be anything.
That bothers me. In a weird way, and I'm not comparing him to these people because I don't think in any way, shape, or form he is as charismatic or as talented as they are, but he's putting himself in that Jake Roberts, Roddy Piper category where he doesn't need a title to be relevant on the show, and he doesn't need a title for fans to love or hate him. So, as a result, he's probably shouldn't get a title. You know?
But he's earned it.
What, Roman Reigns?
No.
Yeah, I'm talking about Reigns. Ambrose, I think, deserves a title.
Reigns can't put himself in his head, he can. But not in the public eye.
I don't think he's had good title reigns either, Ambrose, which hurts his stock too, because it's like his U.S. title run, they fucked him over, he rarely defended it, and then his Intercontinental title run wasn't that great either, because they had him in the middle of a world title feud, so booking fucked over both of his reigns as champion. So it makes, in a weird way, the company is like, well, would he be a good champion, because he wasn't a great U.S. champion, and he wasn't a great Intercontinental champion, but that's their fucking fault.
Listen, let's be honest. The only good U.S. champion in the last couple of years has been John Cena.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's because he puts it up every week.
Yep.
As sad as that is. And the problem is, he got dance partners, and he showed, one, those people are good, and two, that he's good.
It's like, think about it. Like, when was Zack Ryder's last match that meant anything? His match with Cena, you know? When was Sami Zayn, even though the match on NXT this week was great, Sami Zayn's last great match was against Cena. You know? So it's like, Cena brings the best out of everybody. He brings it out. You know? And it pisses me off that, like, the same belt, in one way or another, that people like fucking Goldberg and, like, Chris Benoit and Diamond Dallas Page and fucking all these great guys over the years held that, like, fucking Kalisto has. I love Kalisto, but he's not a U.S. champion. I'm sorry.
But at least he's defended it.
But it's like, oh my god. The matches just don't matter.
Like, they treat it like it doesn't matter.
Yes. They're treating it like a glorified cruiserweight belt right now. And then you're going to have Ryback and Kalisto at WrestleMania, possibly.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
That's just, and him losing the singlet was weird too, but it's just there's so many things that you could do that could come out of this, out of the storytelling that you had coming out of the Royal Rumble, that Roadblock didn't help further.
Yeah, I agree.
At least in my opinion,
I agree.
And it's not doing the job. We don't know. The show hasn't come out. The show may be spectacular.
The end of the last row with that little segment with Ambrose and Triple H was awesome. I like the way that they did that to set up Roadblock. But all the three other matches that are on the card, they didn't do those things for it.
No.
They tried to do it on NXT with, like, there's, because they've been giving those guys a lot more promo time than usual and stuff, but they didn't really do the best job of setting up that Dash and Dawson and Cassidy and Amore match as they could have. And then the other two matches, nothing.
Yeah, but what gets me the most is, why NXT? Why? You have a roster full of people.
I agree.
Why put this match? You know, it just seems so out of place. And it's not that they don't deserve the spotlight, because those two guys are going to give us a good match.
Yeah.
Those two teams are going to give us a good match. But it's just like, it's just so out of left field. You know, it's like, oh, they were already traveling with us.
Yeah.
So let's put them on. And that would make sense. But that's your kickoff, you know, and then you got more time to fill. Right now, we filled a two-hour show.
Yeah, we need another match.
You know, unless something monumental will happen at Roadblock. Who knows? Because, you know, they want to drum up, like you said when we started the show, they want to drum up people's necessity to watch the network. So maybe something will happen. Beast in the East, the NXT title changed.
Yep.
Right? That was a network special, but they built that match up over weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, you've had a week, 2 weeks to build up the revival, which that name also came out of left field.
Yeah. But, you know, what's wrong with Dash and Dawson?
I don't know. I guess
the revival of what? Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson's gimmick? Like, what the fuck?
but honestly, they're hard-hitting guys who deserve to still be NXT champions as much as I want to see Enzo and Cass do it. It's just, what did you do to build up your network special? You had a week that you announced it, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, look at all these matches that we have. You know, it's like, why isn't Miz and Ziggler on it just to have their blow off?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you use your underutilized talent? You know, the Social Outcasts could have had something.
Or even, like, it would have made more sense if they would have booked Corbin and Aries for this event, considering, like, what just happened 2 weeks ago. Instead, you're going to make people wait another month for that match?
I know. And that would be a really good match. He hasn't been since.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you don't want to debut a TNA guy on a network special like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless it's an NXT branded special. Yeah, you know, that's where I think they're coming from.
Aries is different, though. Like, Aries is a guy, to me, that, like, He's so, like, he's a very intelligent worker, and he's very similar to Styles in the fact that, like, he brings the best out of other guys. Like, he can wrestle, like, in a different style. Like, I've seen him give guys much bigger than him a brainbuster, you know, and I've seen him take power moves from big guys, and I've seen him take moves from guys that he shouldn't have just to, like, kind of put them over. Like, he's good at telling stories. Like, he can make Corbin look very, very good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he would fit on that card.
I think him and Apollo Crews could have a very good match.
I think so, too. But a
match that has to see more edge out of Crews.
Yeah, I agree.
He needs to start showing
like a Black Cena.
Edge.
Like, when Cena was first coming up as, like, when he made the face turn, and he was just like, oh, I'm so good. It's like, that's how Apollo Crews is, and it's like, everybody knows that, like, Yacina plays that good guy, but everyone knows that, like, he's still, like, the Thugonomics guy. Like, if you piss him off, he has that extra gear, and he gets pissed off, and he'll throw punches and stuff like that. Like, Cruz is always, like, smiling.
Yeah.
It's too nice, bro.
He needs to go with the too good gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, remember what we discussed for Kofi? But yep. For him.
Yeah.
Because he could fly, he could backflip, he could give you power, and he really has to do, you know, he has to come out, like you said, in a suit,
yep,
and just be like, I'm a rare commodity, and every time you guys at NXT see me, you're going to see just the best,
mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, when you got guys like Ciampa and Gargano filling out the roster, giving you good matches, of course you could always be that good guy.
Yep.
Because whoever those two are always going to give you a good performance.
I love both of those guys. I think both of those guys are great, like, enhancement guys. And
yeah, but
good guys to have around.
They do the enhancement correctly, like we've discussed before.
Yeah, because they let them win matches
they look
from time
good.
To time.
Yeah.
Like Ty Dillinger, same thing. Another guy, you know? That's why I think, too, they really need to start, WWE needs to start getting rid of a lot of, like, that fat on the main roster and bringing up a lot of these guys from NXT to start spicing up the card, because you have a whole another group of guys that are coming up, like, again, Cruz, Dillinger, Gargano, Ciampa, Samoa Joe, all of these guys that deserve to be at the top of the card now in NXT.
Interesting that you said that. Lightning round. Give me five people you will cut from the main roster.
Ryder. Miz. Breeze. Slater. And Dallas. And the only reason why I say cut Breeze is because I think Breeze would be fantastic in TNA.
Okay, so you would let them go from the company, not even send them back down to NXT?
Not even send them back down to NXT. I think Slater could be a mid-card guy in TNA also.
Okay. And it would bolster that roster.
Yep.
And it would make that roster a bit better.
Yeah.
You know. Give me quick five people to call up.
Balor. Joe, not yet. Not yet. Not Joe, not yet. So, Balor, Enzo, Cass, Emma.
You know, okay.
And, oof, shit, we need one more. I would say even Bailey. Because I think Asuka's ready to be NXT Women's Champion. I think Bailey's had a long enough run.
Okay. So, did you take into consideration their positions on the card?
They're going to be really shitty. They're going to be really towards the bottom of the card when they first start, you know?
Balor doesn't deserve to be there.
He only belongs to be there if they have Gallows, Anderson, and Styles and him all together at the same time.
Would you really rehash?
Absolutely, because it's money.
Okay.
And then the thing is, you let Styles be the guy that goes for, like, the Intercontinental title, and then you let Balor be the guy that goes for the U.S. title, and I think Balor can make a fucking joke out of Kalisto and win the U.S. title. Mm-hmm. And then you have Anderson and Gallows go for the tag team title. So you have them be, like, a really top mid-card faction for like 6 or 7 months, and then you have Styles go for the world title, and then you have like Balor get screwed out of the United States title, and then you have him win the Intercontinental title. So, in a weird way, Balor is going through kind of like that Shawn Michaels road, that really slow, smooth progression as a single star. So when there's drama in the faction, and Balor is going to have to take on Styles, then it makes more sense.
And you have that little Kenny Omega moment.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So.
Okay. But then, you know, now with Samoa Joe there as the NXT champion, because that's a picture you would get out of this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You have Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe, which should be excellent.
Beautiful. Yep.
And then you have Cruz, Corbin, and Nakamura chasing the title. And who?
And Aries.
And Aries chasing the title, yeah, you're right.
Plenty.
Wow, NXT is stacked.
Yes. There's too many people there, you know?
And that's why when you get someone like Eli Sampson, he's falling through the cracks.
But then the thing is, too, he's not that good. I hate to say it.
Is he not that good, or is he not that good because he hasn't fought anyone good?
That too. They're feeding him fucking cream puffs, but then it's like, your finisher is a swinging neck breaker.
Well, against these guys, he doesn't need a good finisher.
Yeah. I don't know.
Now, poor Steve Cutler. I'm Team Cutler.
He's built like an animal. Like, he should totally have
a fucking
gimmick.
He loses so much.
Yes. I agree. He's like how Blake and Murphy were, like, 2 years ago.
I just, you know, everything comes in time in the NXT.
Yeah, I agree.
But those are good call-ups. I agree. And you wouldn't cut Ziggler.
No. Just because he's a dependable hand. And I think the fans still like him, and I think he still sends a lot of merch. He still sells a lot of merch. So, but it's like, who the fuck is buying, who the hell is buying any of those guys' stuff that I mentioned before? You know, they're not over, like, even a little bit. And I love Zack Ryder. I was a huge Zack Ryder fan, and I still am to an extent, but it's like, I could see Zack Ryder being more relevant on the indie scene in, like, Ring of Honor or in TNA than he is in the WWE right now.
You know, to the three events I've gone to, he's always the first guy there.
Yep.
He hasn't fallen out of shape.
Nope, he's still in excellent shape.
He always tries.
Yes.
And even when he loses, people still go, woo, woo.
Yes.
So, I guess, you know, it's like, what are we missing?
Or even, too, same thing, go to New Japan. You know?
He's got a physique that they would like.
Yes. But see, the thing is, too, when I was interviewing Jim Ross, he said something very, very poignant that, like, kind of stuck
with me. You interviewed Jim Ross that you could find here on ReviewFix.com.
Twice. So it wasn't a fluke. He said that in New Japan, what matters the most is what you do bell to bell. And they'll work with you in terms of, like, your charisma and all of those other things. They'll help you develop those things. The WWE is the complete opposite. Like, you need to have charisma, and you need to be able to really, like, cut a promo before they even, like, give you an opportunity to get in the ring. You know? So it's like, it makes no sense that a tag team like Blake and Murphy aren't on the main roster, but we're talking right now that, like, Enzo and Cass, who are far worse in the ring than those guys, will, because they have a ton more charisma.
Okay. You know? Even though they have gotten better.
They've gotten much better, and I think Cassidy is a very good big man. It's just Enzo's so small. He's like, ugh, I can't take him seriously. You know?
With the hair.
He's like the little guy hanging outside the bodega, sitting on a milk crate, talking shit. And I love him for that! But it's like, I've never really seen him do a move that I'm like, oh, shit. Like, yeah, he throws DDTs from time to time and some kicks and stuff, but he doesn't have anything that's, like, unique. His moveset is so fucking boilerplate. Like, Cassidy has, like, the boot. He's got that swinging kind of, like, black hole slam variation that he does. He's got some stuff in his toolbox that's his. But,
okay.
And the rocket launcher as the finisher. Why are the wood villains still in fucking NXT? You know, there's a lot of shit that's going on that's just fucking wrong.
But I think, you know, we failed to mention what they could do in a company like Ring of Honor.
Who?
The five people you cut.
Oh, I mean, they would add instant, like, name recognition. People would
pay. Because look at Matt Sydal.
Mm-hmm.
He's one half of the IWGP
Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he's in phenomenal shape. If he just would have kept himself clean.
Yep.
You know, and it wasn't even illegal stuff that he took.
Mm-hmm.
It was legal, but it was still in violation of the wellness policy.
His whole thing, though, too, is he's one of those guys that has name recognition. He can make money anywhere he goes. So he doesn't necessarily, he's never going to make the same amount of money he was making in the WWE, but he'll make enough money that he'll be able to support himself. And he doesn't have to deal with all that shit in the WWE, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see Matt Sydal on, like, fucking Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground needs to try really hard. I have nothing against El Rey. I think it's a great channel, but it's not on enough cable companies.
I don't even get it.
Yeah, I want to watch it.
Get El Rey. It's I can't the same even, thing. I gotta watch online.
Do you get Access TV on your cable?
No.
Fucking New Japan, dude. I would watch New Japan every week on there. It's not on my cable.
No, I gotta watch it online.
Yep. And it's not the same.
When you know how, again, I bring her up just because she loves AJ Styles. And you wanna know why she loves AJ Styles?
What, your mama?
Ring of Honor? New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Who loves AJ Styles? Your mama?
My mom.
Your mama. Okay.
She fucking loves AJ Styles.
She watches New Japan?
I said, you gotta look at this guy. Look at this guy's moves, man. This is the one that got away.
Yeah.
This is the one that Jim Ross says got away, and I understand why. And she goes, nah, he can't be that good. And I showed him, and she's like, he's that good.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
And I'm telling people this now, and I want people to remember this day, that, like, Kenny Omega is, like, the next guy that, like, the WWE has to get. And they've been trying to get him, and he doesn't want to come over, and for good reason, because this is, like, his chance, like, in New Japan. But, like, I've been saying this for, like, 2 or 3 years, that he's really good, but it's, like, over the past, like, 6 months, he's become so much better. He's such a good, like, out-of-his-mind heel. I love it.
And him and Ambrose?
Oh.
Brian Pillman and Steve Austin?
Yep. They would be... He reminds me so much of Brian Pillman. So much. And it's not just the hair. It's like that reckless abandon in the ring. It's his eyes, you know? And he's so different at the other end, too, because he's like, you can tell he's such a geek. He, like, all the names of moves, the Hadouken, all that shit, like, the fucking, you know, the little gimmick that he has with the hair on his arms?
Mm-hmm. That he shaved? Yeah, where he cuts it so he could do the saw?
Who fucking thinks of shit like this? Only him, he's so unique. Did you see Xavier Woods' podcast when he was playing video games with Xavier Woods?
No, I didn't.
Great, it's fucking great.
They let him on that?
Do you believe that?
That's crazy.
It has nothing to do
with... That means they're acknowledging New Japan as a competitor.
But it has nothing to do with WWE. It's just Xavier
Woods. I know, but every now and then they drop it. Oh, he was the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
He performed in the IWGP.
Yep.
And then they, you know...
Layfield is the one that usually does it.
I know, but every now and then he goes, Maggle!
Yep.
Maggle! And I go, oh my God, if you just let Byron Saxon talk, or just give me Mono Ranallo, what a good... That was the best thing out of Fastlane, was Ranallo on the mic instead of Michael Cole. And I really, really do enjoy his commentary.
Have you ever seen Byron Saxon wrestle?
Say again?
You ever seen Byron Saxon wrestle?
I did. It was sad. And that atrocity of a finisher is even sadder.
Yeah. But I agree with you,
Mark. He's got a weird sausage shape head.
Renal, he's awesome. Fastlane felt really good. Like, even SmackDown, I like to watch SmackDown just because, like, it just feels like a different show. SmackDown
makes it is exciting. Like,
quickly becoming a different type of show. It's more than a B show now.
So, elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is roadblock, but let's talk about this because we've been talking a lot about the build-up to WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
The elephant in the room. Here comes the money.
Here comes the money.
He could, you know, he got lost in his promo from the reaction from the people.
Oh, yeah. I would too. They went nuts.
Why are they going nuts for him? Some of these kids don't know who he is.
Because now they watch the WWE Network, so now they think they know.
The fact remains is, why is this such a boon to the WWE?
It's not. It's not. And it's nostalgia. And the thing is, it's like, if this was 10 years ago and this was this match, and Shane McMahon was willing to go through some candy glass and off the top of the fucking Titantron and all this crazy shit, then it would be fun. But now it's like you have two really old guys in a Hell in a Cell. Something else has to happen. Like, I don't want to see that match. And I have audio actually going up on the site tomorrow where I actually rebook the entire Shane McMahon Undertaker thing. So I'm not
going to... You put Goldberg there?
I'm not going to give it up. No, I actually don't. I don't want to give it away. It's really good stuff. But, yeah. We'll put it this way. Shane McMahon is still a player in the angle, but he's a valet. So he's not wrestling in the match. But it opens up the door for a whole bunch of crazy shit to happen where, like, Undertaker, no one loses respect for Undertaker because, you know, this could have happened to, like, anybody. And you end up having, like, an entire, like, change of pace in the entire company, we'll put it that way. But to go back to, like, what you're saying, I don't want to see Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker. Like, I'm planning to take a nice, like, 40-minute shit when that match happens.
Who knows? It may be spectacular.
It could be. But this is the thing.
Because remember when he got thrown through the glass at King of the Ring?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
One, he didn't go through the first time.
Mm-hmm.
He was mad enough to say, put me through.
Yep.
So. I got some respect for the Shane O'Mac.
I have a ton of respect for Shane McMahon. But it's kind of like, at the end of the day, this is not a match that anyone was expecting, and it's not necessarily a match that anyone would have ever predicted, because it's not a match that makes a lot of sense.
But what comes out of this is interesting, because of the words you use. I will gain control of Raw.
Everyone's saying online that, like, McMahon, that Shane O'Mac isn't supposed to be a part of the WWE's plans after WrestleMania. So that means it's just, like, supposed to be a time filler. If that's the case, then it makes no sense. If Shane McMahon ends up getting control of Raw and basically just obeying the words of the IWC, then that could be really cool. But
that's not how you run a company.
Yeah, it's not. But then this is the thing, too. Because after, like, Vince McMahon's little fucking geriatric outburst against Titus O'Neil a couple weeks ago, and then every time you see him, you're like, this guy is not going to be on TV that much longer. So, you know, you have to say to yourself, like, is Shane McMahon still the heir apparent? Or is, and this is, like, legit, this isn't just, like, in the show. Like, who gets control of the WWE after Vince McMahon, like, steps down? So, like, Shane McMahon was, like...
He's got his own multi-billion dollar company.
He does, but he was, like, a leading force in, like, the WWE backstage. Like, not creatively, but, like, in terms of, like, their branding and their digital merchandising and, like, their digital... A lot of, like, business stuff before he went off and started his own companies and stuff, like China Broadband, this, that, the other thing. He was a very, very important piece of their puzzle. So now, by bringing Shane McMahon back into, like, story and stuff like that, is Vince McMahon telling Shane McMahon in one way or another, like, behind the camera, like, listen, there's still time for you to come back and be the heir apparent? Like, this is a guy that set up the ring when he was a kid. This was a guy that refereed when he was a kid. This is a guy that put his body on the line as an adult. This is a guy that spent hours in the boardroom as an adult. Is he the guy that wants to, like, take over this company when his dad leaves? Or is it Stephanie, who never left? This was the only thing that she knows. That's probably more interesting.
Does he deserve it?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
This is actually more interesting than any of the storylines.
He's a self-made man.
Yes.
And I think that's what gets Vince, because Vince always wanted him to take over, like he did from his father.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it was Stephanie who did it.
Yep. Stephanie and Triple H, let's be fair.
But then the story that could go is so much more interesting than what's happening in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting, you talk about McMahon's mental state, because a couple of weeks ago, like you said, he suspended Titus O'Neil for an innocuous thing. You know, what are your feelings on that?
My feelings are, you have to be very careful when you touch your boss in any way, shape, or form. So it's like, I worked at NBC for 2 years. I probably touched my boss like twice. Like, touched them. Like, a fist bump one time, joking around, and then like a pat on the back after like a long day. You know, I'm not in the habit of touching people that sign my paychecks. And then I work right now for the City University of New York. And my boss is a woman who's older. She's a sweetheart. She's a wonderful woman. And I have the utmost amount of respect for her. But I wouldn't put my hands on her for any reason, shape, or form. Even in a joking way, because it's like, it's not professional. So I understand, like, what Titus was doing. Like, oh, ladies first, letting Stephanie go. But then this is the thing that you have to understand. Even though they were kind of like breaking the fourth wall, having the celebration and stuff, you're still on camera, you're still in character. For him to push Vince McMahon is not good. So I think that's why Vince McMahon reacted the way that he did. But then at the same time, it's like, Vince McMahon, get the fuck over yourself. Like, so if I'm Titus O'Neil, I say, you know what, I'm going to find a way to, like, make this work for me. I'm going to go on, and see, Titus O'Neil fucked up too, because he wrote that letter apologizing to the WWE, and then the WWE, like, kind of shared it with news outlets to kind of make it look like he was in the wrong, which he kind of is, but he's kind of not at the same time. So if I'm Titus O'Neil, I call up Dixie Carter or whatever, and I'm like, listen, I want some promo time. And I just talk a ton of shit.
So you're Steve Austin, Jim?
Absolutely. But the problem is, Steve Austin was a fucking gem. And Bischoff knew it, but it was injuries, it was his attitude, it was a whole bunch of things that timing wasn't right. I'm not quite sure that Titus O'Neil is a gem. Titus O'Neil is like one of those guys that, like, right now in the WWE, he's going to be consistently in the middle of the card, and he's not going to be anything special. So this may be like his one chance. It's kind of like a basketball player, a hockey player, a baseball player that's good, but has a really good postseason.
Yeah, and they're able.
They're able to kind of like cash in based on like that one moment. That's kind of like what he has to do right now. Otherwise, he needs to keep his fucking mouth shut, stay home, and then come back to work, and then do what he's been doing basically for the past 6 years. Coming to work and just being happy to be a part of the roster. Because that's what he does. That's what he does. Darren Young is another guy. No days off, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what have you done? What have you done?
That's true.
You know? Zack Ryder, too. I love Zack Ryder. Again, what have you done? Heath Slater, Bo Dallas, Adam Rose. These are Curtis Axel. These are all guys that have a lot of potential. Shit, even Cody Rhodes I would throw in that category. What have you done to make yourself stand out? How have you forced people? It's like Cesaro was shittily booked for like 6 months. People still loved him. He found ways to make his matches special. He sucked the marrow out of every second of every match. That's what Ziggler does too. It's why Ziggler is shittily booked and people still like him. You know? What are these guys doing? What is The Miz doing? Same exact thing. Nothing. So it's like, to get back on topic, Titus O'Neil does one or two things. He tries to make the most out of the situation, and he goes and he really, like, speaks his mind. And even if he has to say that he thinks that it's a race issue, or even the bigger thing, if he thinks that, you know, if he says, if he brings to light, like, listen, Vince is fucking out of his mind. He's a fucking carny. He's a sick bastard. You know? That would be better than him just sitting on his ass and just taking it like a little bitch.
Is this not a work?
I don't think it's a work.
Because if I was Titus O'Neil, I would run in on a match.
Does Titus O'Neil run in on the Undertaker-Shane McMahon match to screw over Vince?
I would.
I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think WWE
is that smart. But that would be amazing. I don't think they have the balls to do it.
Yep.
I don't think they have a balls to do it, but he sits there, right, and McMahon will come out furious. Furious.
I'd say he comes out of the crowd.
Yeah, in street clothes.
Yep.
And then they chase him.
Yep.
They chase him. And then the next night on Raw, when his suspension is over, who shows up? Right, the guy comes out of the crowd, security goes, pulls off his hat, his hoodie. There it goes, it's Titus O'Neil. Yep. One, you can't mistake that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's too goddamn big.
They need to give him new music. He needs like new tights and stuff like that. He needs to be a cool motherfucker, you know?
Yeah.
And he needs to stop smiling so much. Everyone knows he's a good father, but he needs to be a little bit more badass. He needs to speak his mind a little bit more.
Or he needs to be what Kevin Owens is. I'm good with my family. But I got screwed out of my position at WWE, so now I'm coming for everyone.
Yep.
And I treat people with respect, but when people don't treat me with respect, I show it right back. And that's your angle.
Yep, I agree.
That's your angle. Outside, he does everything he has to do.
Yep.
But the moment someone crosses him...
Once that bell rings, ding, ding, I ain't no teddy bear no more, bitch.
Yeah, and that's it. And you gotta give him... You know, you gotta give him more moves. I know he has a potential.
Mm-hmm. If they were smart, they would really try their best to make this like a race thing. I'm telling
you. Like a Booker T thing?
Like fucking he comes out, like Titus O'Neil comes out and goes, listen, I was home and I was telling myself, you know what? I'm just gonna take my suspension, I'm gonna try and be a good man, blah blah blah. But then you know what? I got a phone call from somebody that I haven't heard from in a really long time. My Uncle Tom. And he told me that I need to be the man that I need to be. And that my son doesn't respect me because I'm not home. because I'm at home not doing all the things that I tell him to do, to speak my mind, to be opinionated, to stand up for the things that are right, and not to let people that have more money and a better place in society dictate the man that I'm supposed to be. So thank you, Uncle Tom. Da-da-da-da. You know, like something like that. That would be memorable for like the rest of wrestling history. That would be like a fucking Thunderbolt Patterson promo. But they don't have the balls to do that anymore. Because then you'd have all these 5-year-olds going to mom and dad, "What's Uncle Tom?" And like, oh, shit. You know?
Or like a TNA, R-Truth, Ricky Steamboat.
Yep.
When they had that little, "Let's talk why you weren't champion."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's good. Even if they don't go that way, just the implication is enough. Because the kids won't understand. The kids will think, well, he was someone who was punished for something that he shouldn't have been punished for.
Yep.
And the adults will get what he's trying to say. And I think that's how you do this.
I would even have, like, Roblox, to get back to Roblox, like, Roblox needs something. So if, like, even if it's, like, having Titus O'Neil come out and cut a promo, or, like, have them show him in the crowd, something. It needs that, it needs a debut, it needs another match, and it needs something else, like, a tease of something. Because right now,
How about you have him in the crowd and have him hold up his ticket?
Yep.
That they wouldn't even allow him backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Push it a bit further. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying to make it a race war thing, but I'm just saying like a man who is wronged.
Yeah.
Look how much they've taken this to heart, right? That they're not even letting him backstage. I think that would sell.
I think it would too.
Because it taps into the Austin McMahon thing, right? And it gives an extra layer. It gives a ripple of reality because sometimes people overreact and we just do.
I agree.
And they say things that they can never take back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of what happened. And they backpedaled a little bit on this.
Oh, of course they did.
That's like 90 days. I'm like, wow, that's a lot.
Yep.
I'm like, how much is a violation for the wellness policy? It goes 30 days. It's like, really? For just touching you?
Yep.
For suspending him 60 days?
That's bullshit.
Yeah. And I'm just like, God, there's something more. But if not, there's the potential to come out of this in a completely different way.
Yep. I mean, if they do this the right way, this could absolutely make Titus. But
he's not world champion.
He's not. But he's it's not. Like he could be somebody. I think he could be more than what Ryback is. Mm-hmm. I love the oorah, oorah, oorah. Like he's got some potential. The Clash of the Titus isn't a finisher. I'm sorry. You know? But he's got potential. I like the primetime players. I like them. But they got stuck in the middle of the depths. We can't even call it depths. We could just call it a ton of teams. Because there's not like a ton of depth. There's just a lot of teams right now. You know? So overall, Juan, Roblox, what are you going to be most excited to see?
I'm going to see if Ambrose pulls it off.
What do you think?
That would,
you think he does?
If he wins it, like you said, it would be interesting, but I kind of see the future on the horizon. If Cass and Enzo don't win, I'm not too broken up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if the League of Nations wins, I would be surprised, and I would like to see how they go moving forward.
Because it is weight-bearing. Titles change hands?
Yeah, and what gets me most is the two people announcing the match. It's not just like any random members of the League of Nations. It's Wade Barrett and Sheamus. And Wade Barrett's contract is coming to an end pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this could be his last run.
Really quick. What do you think of Wade Barrett following people in the Bullet Club on Twitter? All one after another on the same day.
I think he's taking your advice and he's going to where he could perform and show exactly what he had to offer because they have been super gun shy about him. But the sad fact is every time they gave him, they trusted him with it. They didn't really trust him. And this wasn't really his fault. You know, every time they gave him the belt, he got hurt.
Yep.
But they missed striking when the iron was hot with the Nexus angle.
Yep, I agree.
He was super hot then, and it was a wrong decision to make. For all those guys. Even for fucking Tarver, who's gone into obscurity.
He's a nut. I've interviewed him before. He's out of his mind. He's like like a religious singer now. He still wrestles, I think, but he's like, he has a music career. I don't know where the hell that went, but that was an interesting interview, to say the least.
But the heat you had coming out of that was just so unique. Yep. It was refreshing for a while, from what I went back and saw. And then when he started catching all of the bad news thing, why did you try to make him a heel so bad?
Yep.
You know, if it was catching on, go with it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know?
And then you have him win the King of the Ring. And for what?
And for nothing.
For nothing. Crazy.
For nothing. And it really is a shame because he's a good worker.
He is.
He tries. He's in excellent shape. But I think he may push himself too far and become extremely, over-reliant on the waistlat, over-reliant on moves that extend his shoulder. And that's an injury that's recurring.
Yep.
You know, once you separate your shoulder, it will happen again. Not if, but when. And that's something he has to watch out for. If he goes to New Japan, he could see success. But the way those guys work extremely stiff, he could end up getting injured. So he has to be careful.
Wade Barrett, to me, is going to be like a guy like Drew Galloway. He needs a change of pace. He needs a different place to work. And you're going to start to see a different performer. Drew Galloway has been fucking money in TNA. He's been so much fun to watch. And just completely different from what he was in the WWE, which was like a joke. So I think Wade Barrett needs a change of scenery. And I think one day he could come back, but right now...
Do you think Drew Galloway could come back?
If I was him, I wouldn't come back for the time being, because I think he's going to win the TNA title before EC3 gets it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And he was a ICW champion over in Ireland, you know, and... I think he lost it, and then Grado picked it up. And Grado's another one that's all flash.
Oh, he's awful.
I know.
I can't.
He's so entertaining.
I don't even think he's that entertaining, to be honest.
You don't think so?
No, I think he's in awful shape. I don't think he can sell very well, but he's got no offense. He's like a poor man's like. A Somalian man's version of Santino Marella. That's what he is. He's from like the same mold. Mm. He doesn't do anything for me.
Conventions.
What about
his entrance? They can't even do it over here.
What's his entrance?
He comes into Like a Prayer.
Uh huh.
By Madonna, and it's like a big thing, and people sing along over in Ireland and England when he comes in. Right, and sometimes he comes into like a prayer, and then it changes to 99 problems.
Oh my god!
Right, he comes out with like an alter ego, and he has like a flannel shirt, and he's still got the fanny pack. But you know, people love it; people eat it up. And he's gone through some hardcore matches where he became their champion, and it wasn't a bad match; it wasn't a great match. But, you know, he has potential.
They saw TNA boot camp in the United States. Then.
What happened?
Then that means they're just not using him right in the United States. And then I apologize for what I'm saying, but it's...
No.
From what I've seen...
Because he's not great.
Yeah.
But he's not terrible. He just... I think he needs time.
When he's tagged up with fucking Mahabali Shera, I'm sorry.
I know.
I can't. Another guy. I fucking can't. Just awful.
They went to India and they signed all these guys. Like, they have them down in NXT. But at least NXT is putting them through their paces.
Yes.
So that they could, when they come up, they're not a joke.
Yep.
But the Shera guy just showed up.
That
and
fucking stupid dance in... he did, it's like something like a child molester would do. It's just like, oh, God.
And then he got put into the Revolution.
Yep.
You know, where he lingered.
And that could have been no a success, decent angle. That could have been, I liked that at first, when he started changing these guys. And making them different, that was pretty cool, but, like, Shera didn't fit in. Last thing I want to discuss with you, because now that you mentioned TNA a little bit, what do you think of DK?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I haven't seen enough.
I love their entrance, man. With, like, the Marilyn Manson and, like, the whole gimmick. Just, it fits, like, mm-hmm. so well together.
But what I like is that they're using everyone on the roster.
Yes, I agree. Even, like, Crazy Steve, they're using Crazy Steve properly at that angle.
And he fits in perfectly from what I've seen.
Yep.
Right, but remember, it's on Pop TV, which was a former TV Guide channel.
Yeah.
Right, and sometimes, you know, there's more interesting stuff on.
The show, we'll put it this way, because I've watched it, I've been watching TNA, I've gotten back into TNA because I didn't have them for a little while when Pop TV wasn't on Optimum, and the show is exactly, like, it feels exactly the same as the show, like, on Destination America. So, like, they didn't lose any production value or anything. So, that's a good thing.
But they are looking for investors.
Yes.
Because Panda Energy is not giving them more money.
I wouldn't give them any more money either. They're like fucking bleeding money, you know?
I wouldn't. And they have guaranteed contracts for people like James Storm and Bobby Roode, you know, and Davey Richards, who's hurt. So, you know, it's something you have to consider when you start giving guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, I agree.
EC3 deserves a guaranteed contract.
He does.
Even though he's been injured.
He's good, though, man. When I interviewed Jim Ross, I asked Jim Ross, give me some guys that you think in TNA or WWE that would be stars in New Japan. And EC3 was one of the guys that he mentioned. I would love to see EC3 versus, like, Okada. That would be money.
That's money right there.
Yep.
That's money right there, in all honesty. Just a level of physicality between those two would be good.
It's so sad to think that, like, Okada was in TNA in 2011, and they didn't know what the fuck to do with him.
They don't know what to do with a lot of people, and I think it's... And they had that whole Billy Corgan angle, remember?
Yep.
And apparently he runs his own promotion out of Chicago.
Yeah.
Where he pays his people very, very well, by the way. It's like... The EC3 thing was handled so well.
Yep.
And even to a certain point, the Eric Young craziness...
Yep.
...was handled pretty well. You know, to just have things fall apart every now and then, I don't know if it's the booking committee or the booker loses it, or there's things happening backstage that are interfering with their ability to consistently produce. But there are shades of, like, really good programming, and then there are shades of, what are you doing? You know, like, their knockouts division went to nothing.
And it used to be, like, the hallmark of their entire promotion.
Yeah, and they've lost Awesome Kong because of a backstage incident with Reva Sky. So, you know, regardless, they lost Terrence Arell, and the air went out of the division.
Yep.
You know.
Say what you want about Terrence Arell. She was heart and soul, man. Like, her and Gail Kim would leave everything in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now Jade, all of a sudden, man, Jade is proving that she is a really good worker. And I love that they gave her the package pile driver. But I don't know. She hasn't gotten any real promo time yet, so we don't really know enough about her. She's got, like, a weird body shape and stuff. But bottom line is, like, they're trying to make stars in the knockout division.
Yeah.
But it's just not happening yet.
All right. So, wrapping up the show.
Uh-huh.
Three male and three female indie talents that you would try to get for NXT. Or TNA.
Okay. Three indie talents. Shit. And a lot of people probably aren't going to know a lot of them. Let's see. Rude Boy Riley. Are you familiar with Rude Boy Riley?
No. But go ahead. Give me a little bit about
him. Okay. So he's in Tier 1 and he's in a Staten Island promotion called Warriors of Wrestling. He's currently their champion. He's got a little CM Punk in him, a little Daniel Bryan. You know, he does like that Drew Galloway's like machine gun kick as like one of his finishers and stuff. Really talented, really he's tatted up, bleach blonde hair. You know, he'd be good. He'd be good in TNA or NXT. You know,
okay.
The next George Firebird Santee. Are you familiar with him?
No, go, give me a little bit. Another but then again, guy, a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with him either.
He's wrestled, like, in basically every promotion in the Northeast, like, over the past, like, 5 or 6 years. He's trained by WWE Hall of Famer Johnny Rods, Damian Demento, all those guys from Gleason's gym in Brooklyn. I'm pretty sure he tried out for NXT a couple years ago. He's a really good worker. He reminds me a ton of, like, he's a blend of, like, Regal with, like, a lot of Tito Santana, some Jericho, some Steamboat. He does everything well. Like, he's a sound technician. He's very smooth. I want to see him be able to do a couple of small things different to make himself different from everyone else. Because this is the thing, if you tell him, do this, do this, do this, do this in the ring, you're going to get it. But it's like, I want to see him over the next, like, year or so do, like, one or two things that nobody else does so he could put his stamp on something and he could make himself that much more attractive to another promotion. Because right now he's one of those guys that, like, you would want him on your roster because he's a great hand to have. He could have a good match with just about anybody. But it's like, what's, like, the one or two things that he's going to do that's going to make him unique from somebody else? I think once he finds that, he's a success. So he's, like, 28, 29. He's been on the indie scene for a while. And he's ready. He just needs to find out, like, what those one or two things are about himself. The last guy is another guy that's come out of, like, Gleason's. His name is Christopher Williams. He's probably the least trained out of the three guys that I've mentioned, and I think he'd be really good, like, on NXT. Like, he would be able to be on the show for, like, a year or so, but this is somebody, like, he would be great on Tough Enough. He would be great on, like, Breaking Ground or something like that. He's got a ton of swag. He's, like, a skinnier version of, like, Titus O'Neil. Mm-hmm. With a lot of, like, D'Angelo De Niro in him. He's got this really, like, cool blend. He's very athletic, but he's very tall at the same time, too. So he does, like, this version of the big boot where, like, the guy's in the corner in the turnbuckle, mm-hmm. like, on the floor, like, prepping for, like, a Bronco Buster in a way. And then he goes down to the floor and he fucking super kicks the guy from the outside in.
Oh, wow.
It's awesome. Like, he had it on his Facebook page the other day, and I was like, this son of a bitch. Like, and it's old. He did it a long time ago. He did this, like, 5, 6 years ago. But it's just, like, that's something that I could see somebody using as, like, a finisher. Like, and getting people's attention. So, like, he needs more seasoning. He needs, like, the seasoning that somebody like Santee has now. But he has those one or two things now that make him different from everybody else.
Okay.
So, what about you?
You know, he's not really independent, but, you know, he's on Lucha Underground. I would try my hardest to get Ricochet.
Oh, dude, amazing worker. Amazing worker. I agree.
He is something else.
Mm-hmm.
He is something else, right? And in order to add some more experience to the NXT roster, I would try to woo away BJ Whitmore.
He's a guy that just has a ton of... He's like an encyclopedia in a way. He's been around for a really long time. He's a guy that, like, even if he's not a star in NXT or TNA, he can help a lot of the young guys, and he can still work in an angle. I agree.
And just in the back, him in the back holding court.
Oh, yeah.
You know, helping people with promos.
It's one of the reasons why NXT brought in Adam Pearce.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but, you know, could you imagine those two guys in their teaching?
Yep.
You know, they're in the twilight of their career teaching and just exuding all their experience onto the people in NXT, I think would be great. And, you know, he could still perform.
Sure. Right?
And not really an indie, but someone I really, really, really wish they would get is O'Reilly. From Red Dragon. Bobby Fish is good, but I think O'Reilly's better.
I think Kyle O'Reilly has a belt too in
he does.
In New Japan now, right?
He does, but you know, money talks, man.
Oh no, I know, but the thing is too, it's like it's just a testament to like It's you have to be really special to be a gaijin and win a title in New Japan. They don't just give it to anybody.
And this isn't their first.
Uh-huh.
It's not their first belt,
mm-hmm.
you know, in New Japan. They were the IWGP tag team.
Yep.
Not junior, but heavyweight tag
yep.
team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the majors right there.
Yep, I agree.
And Fish is good, and Fish and O'Reilly are good. But every now and then, you know, I think O'Reilly edges him out.
I agree. I would love to see Red Dragon versus the Wolves in TNA.
Oh, my God. That would be fantastic.
Yep.
You know, because, you know, Davey Richards has it in him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's been injured twice, you know, in the past couple of years. So he's really doing. Now, as for the women, you know, I like her a lot, Beta Scott.
Yeah.
I think she's not perfect, but she's good enough that you put her in NXT, right? Mm-hmm. And you go ahead and you could see her get better and eventually make a main roster push. I think she could have enough charisma for it. And she's smart enough. She's actually a lawyer by training.
Wow.
So it's pretty interesting.
I'm so happy that Maria Kanellis is in TNA, by the way.
You know what? That added something to that roster.
Yep.
That whole relationship, not just her. It added a little bit of just the right amount of spice. Because
yep.
Matt Hardy doesn't really do it for me all the time. So, her, I would try to lock down Santana Garrett. I
yeah.
think she's good.
I agree.
And Tess Blanchard. I think. She's wrestling out of the West Coast. Right. No, sorry. Wrong Blanchard. Sorry. Von Erich. Lacey Von Erich is what I meant to say. I think she's got potential and name recognition.
A lot of people thought she had potential 5 or 6 years ago in TNA too, and I just, like, I don't know what happened with her.
I didn't see it 5 years ago, so I honestly can't.
Yeah.
You know,
she's in the Beautiful People. She's really pretty.
Mm.
You know?
But apparently her stuff's getting a lot better.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of internet traffic going her way.
She's got to be about 30 now.
I know.
So that she's ripe for the picking, because it's sad that, like, Divas performers only have, like, a small window, mm-hmm. you know? So she needs to get
on
it now.
Yeah, but Asuka's in her 30s.
What?
Asuka's in her 30s.
Yeah, so that's the thing, too. Asuka doesn't look 30 either. She doesn't look
Those Asian jeans.
Yeah, I love her. I love her. I think she's going to be great. Like, she's going to be NXT champion very soon, I think.
So, out of the women, you know, you're looking, anyone on your radar? Or not really?
Not really. To be honest, though, and I've said this before in other podcasts, I would love to see Sarah Del Rey have one more, well, not one more, have one run in NXT, just to be like, because there's a lot of competition right now in the women, but I feel like if she would come in and be like, you're all spoiled brats. You don't know what it's like to work in a territory. You don't know what it's like to work with a ton of men in the locker room, blah, 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 blah. And have her just be like the super bitchy heel. And, like, really elevate some of the young talent there. It would be fantastic.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
Think she's pretty happy where she is.
She is. But it's like, I want my cake and I want to eat it too.
But every now and then, someone comes out of the back, you know, like that Regal match.
Yeah, yeah.
That they have on NXT every now and then.
Yeah.
Or you know, the Triple H, you know, every now and then, you know, the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Just start showing her in some promos, you know, some backstage segments, you know, where she's
or
like,
even
trying
have
to
her
talk.
Somebody's valet, have her hand pick somebody, you know, and then have her get involved
prodigy.
In a match from time to time. Yeah, something like that, you know. Like, she's too good not to be on WWE programming. I love her. Like, I legit, like, I look at her and I'm like, she's one of the best female workers ever, and she's never gotten the recognition that she deserves. Like, not even close. The shit that she's done for, like, female wrestling hasn't gotten a fucking iota of the recognition she deserves. It's sad, you know?
I think she could have a good match with that Hendricks from Ring of Honor. I think that would be a good
match. Taylor Hendricks?
Taylor Hendricks.
Taylor Hendricks cut her teeth in TNA and on the indie scene before, and she has a lot of potential too. I liked her a lot when she was in TNA, and they just
you have someone as experienced as Sarah Del Rey.
Yep,
you know that could you know that could unlock things in you, man.
I agree. One more thing that I want to say before we end the show. When I interviewed Jim Ross last month, he mentioned Fight TV. And if you guys aren't familiar with it, and I hate doing promos like this, but the app is free, and I've actually messed around with it a lot. I'm actually on it right now. And it has, like, MMA on it, but it also has, like, all those really crappy, like, kung fu movies that, like, we grew up on, all these Bruce Lee movies, and those are free to watch, too. But the thing is, the reason why I think you should download this app is because there are so many different independent wrestling promotions on this freaking app that, like, there's stuff that I've never even heard of before. So there's, like, so they have TNA on it. They have Ring of Honor. They have Global Force Wrestling. But now I'm looking at it right now, and I'm looking at Deep Southern Championship Wrestling. Never heard of it. Anarchy Pro Wrestling. AWWL. I have no idea what that is.
What about CCW? For all those extreme people.
I don't know. Arizona Wrestling Federation. Back Action Championship Wrestling. Bellatrix. Male Warriors. Mr. Chainsaw Pro Wrestling, Emerge Wrestling, and they have Evolve on there, Georgia Premier Wrestling, High Risk Wrestling, so it's like Kentuckiana Die Hard Wrestling, Midwest Pro Wrestling, Michigan Championship Wrestling, Mid-South Wrestling Association, NWA Smoky Mountain, Passion of Wrestling, Premier Wrestling Federation, PWX, Southern Fried Championship Wrestling, Smash Mouth Pro Wrestling, like Syndicate Pro Wrestling, Throwback Championship Wrestling. There's so many. So it's like all of this, most of this stuff is free on this app. So it's like if you really love wrestling, you just download the app and then you start clicking and you start watching stuff. So you can watch stuff on your phone. And if you have a smart TV, the app actually connects to your TV and you can watch everything on your TV.
Look at that.
And it's free. It's cool. Like, again, I was just talking shit about the WWE doing product placement for fucking Subway. But
that's right, Michael.
I'm sorry. But the Fight TV app is actually pretty cool. So it's just something worth checking out. So maybe next time we have this conversation about, like, indie guys, I could be like, oh, well, I actually watched Southern Fried Championship Wrestling on my Fight TV app.
And Ricky Bobby 24. He was pretty excited.
Dude, I could go on and on about, like, all of the fucking federations that are on here. Like, Valor God, Pro Wrestling.
Some guy dressed like a rooster.
I'm telling you. Wacky shit. Like, I saw a match that was, like, in, like, it looked like a restaurant the other day. I was watching it on my way to work, and it was, like, Chase Stevens. Remember Chase Stevens from TNA?
No.
No, he was in a tag team. They won the TNA tag team title. Shane Douglas was their manager at one time, and Chris Candido was their manager at another time. It was Chase Stevens and somebody else. But he was wrestling in, like, a fucking restaurant somewhere in the South. And I was like, holy shit, Chase Stevens. Oh, my God. So the app is great.
Huh.
So
everyone, Fight TV. Check it out on your smartphone.
F-I-T-E.
It's available on Android and the Apple Store.
Yep. Is there anything else you want to say, Juan?
No, I just now I think I'm gonna go and lose myself in a couple of hours of watching some guy drink a beer while another guy gets hit in the face with a pitcher.
And then we're gonna watch Battleground.
Battleground.
No, you not Battleground. Damn, what's wrong with me? What's wrong
you see,
with me?
That's the problem. You start naming things after road things, and you forget it.
Roadblock, fast
the only
range.
Roadblock you should remember is from G.I. Joe.
They're gonna have another pay per view like next week. That's called like Orange Cone.
Here it comes. Stay in lane.
Toll booth. Stop sign.
Turnpike 27.
Deaf people crossing.